baseball, Blue Jays, and more baseball. It's the walk-off with Scott Belford and Adam Mack.
This ball is crushed.
The Die Hard Podcast for the casual fan.
And another one. My goodness.
All right. One more time. Here we go. We do have Ben Nicholson-Smith of Sportsnet joining us at the top of the hour. If you are joining us live on YouTube as we're recording this, get your comments in to the live chat. We will keep an eye on that. But full disclosure, we have collected most of our listener questions already in advance from our Discord and our Patreon. So best way, if you do want to get your comment or your question read and answered by any of our guests, Ben Nicholson-Smith or otherwise, join the Discord if you're new here and you haven't already. That is 100% free to join. The invite link is in the show notes of this video, or if you're listening to it on audio, in the show notes as well. Join the Discord. It's free. That is the best place to get your comments and questions in for any of our guests.
Exactly. So while we wait for Ben to show up, Adam and I, of course, are going to talk the Jays. And if you do have any questions or would like to contribute, feel free to drop your comments. We do have both of our comment section open here and are keeping an eye on it. So we will look after it from there. Did we want to get right into this, Adam, or did we wish to quickly touch on Patreon? Let's get right into it.
Let's get right into it.
So this is a question for you, my man, and I meant to bring this up in last night's Long Toss, which turned out to be a phenomenal episode, by
the way.
Anthony Telford, nailing it.
Oh, yeah. Bring in the heat as he does. You know what? Honestly, that was one of our most heated discussions we've had in a long time. Joel was fired up about Shohei Ohtani.
Joel was fired up.
Craig was fired up about Robo Umps. Anthony Telford is just fired up always, so...
Man, did I ever get a kick out of every time something would come up that he just knew he shouldn't skew old school. He'd be like, listen, I'm almost 60, guys. Of course, Anthony Telford, former pitcher for the Montreal Expos and the offseason pitching coach for Nate Pearson. So we picked his brain on where he felt Nate was at. And he was very candid. He was very honest. And he has been honest about Nate Pearson every time that he's appeared on the show. And one of the things that he brought up, and we kind of touched on as well, was that a couple years back when he first made his appearance on the walk-off, he mentioned that he was a little bit concerned about Nate Pearson and how analytically driven he was. The fact that he was so into driveline, so into the biomechanics of things, that he'd have his little nodes or whatever on his arms and muscles, and then it would be going to the computer after he threw a pitch and looking at his mechanics and seeing what his velo was and looking at all the analytics. And Telly was a little concerned.
This was a guy who was already throwing 100.
Yes.
Like, how much more velo do you need to add when you're 18 years old? Anyways.
And so that was one thing Telly brought up, again, 2 years ago. And now we have watched Nate struggle, and a lot of it seems to stem from that. Of course, we can't say that him getting mono had anything to do with that. He has had bad luck when it comes to bad tacos. I mean, we don't like to throw that I word around. Injuries here on the walk-off, we use the term bad taco. And Nate Pearson has had his fair share. So it's not really fair to judge too heavily this season. But it is interesting to see Telford mention that he's talking to his agent. He went golfing with him the other day. He's trying to convince Nate to come back to the facility there in Odessa, Florida with him and try and get back to basics, get back to where he was coming out of college ball, which was one of the most highly touted prospects in all of Major League Baseball, and a guy who was doing interviews on MLB.com where they were asking him stuff about what it would be like to be in the Hall of Fame. So there was so much heat on this kid. I think that at 25 years old, the spotlight has kind of shifted away from him. And maybe this is an offseason where we see Nate strip all the analytics, strip all of the driveline stuff, and just get back to what made him so highly touted, which was his big bad arm that touched 103, 104 miles an hour at times.
It is funny how the whole fan base has just moved on from Nate Pearson, and understandably so.
Yes.
But like, we're already hearing like, well, maybe Ricky Tiedemann can be our number five next year.
Like, at 20.
He's so young. It would just be so much easier to have Nate Pearson just work out. But that's a bit of wishful thinking too, I suppose.
Well, one thing that stood out about last night's convo is when you brought up the idea that Nate Pearson still has a ton in the tank but might need a change of scenery. And boy, Telly was like, absolutely not. He does not need a change of scenery. What he needs to do is get back to what made him a good pitcher. So, of course, we don't need to harp on Nate Pearson. We've probably already over-talked it. But it was kind of nice to hear from Anthony Telford, a friend of the show, and just get some perspective on this young kid and where we probably see the direction he takes in the offseason. All right, I want to talk about this series in Baltimore here, Adam, before we get too far into it. Magic number down to 2. 4 games left for the Mariners and 3-game series against the Orioles with the Blue Jays here. Out of those 7 games, the Blue Jays to clinch home field advantage. They need any combination of 2 wins or losses. Wins on the Jays side, losses on the Mariners. I don't know if I just made that about as clear as mud there. Yeah, but
I did not follow, but as long as it makes sense to you. Jays have the inside track, right?
What I'm saying is that they need any combo of a Mariners loss and a Jays win, and they need 2 of those. So if the Jays can win 2 games, it doesn't matter what the Mariners do. If the Mariners lose 2 games, the Jays can lose out and they're fine. Of course, that would be the least desirable way to go about it, but they are right on the verge. A disaster basically needs to happen for the Blue Jays to not have home field advantage. So my question to you, when you look at sports psychology and you hear all of that stock being put into playing the spoiler, right? This is what we always hear about those bottom feeding teams, is that they can't wait to spoil the chances of their rivals in their division or their top teams. Do you truly believe in that? Like, just take a look at the Orioles right now. Set up the scenario here for you. The excitement and the overaccomplishment in this year, how well Brandon Hyde has managed this team, the standout performances of guys that maybe popped onto the scene unexpectedly. They were eliminated just 2 days ago. Do they actually have anything to play for going into Baltimore for these final 3 games? A youthful team, do you actually see them getting up for this?
No, I don't. I mean, I've been on the other side of this as a Jays fan for the last 20 years. I mean, other than the last 6, playoffs has never been a real consideration. So as a Jays fan growing up in the late 90s, early 2000s, spoiler in September is all we've ever had to play for. And it never works out that way. We would always still lose to the Yankees late in the year. We'd always still lose to the Red Sox late in the year. Baltimore, even if they get swept, is going to finish above 500 this year. And I think that is a major milestone for that
massive
young team.
Win for them.
They
massive
won 52 games last year. They lost 110. They lost twice as many games as they won. An MLB leading 110 losses, tied with the Arizona Diamondbacks. So to turn that team around and to finish literally above 500, and
to win 30 plus more games than last year. Like, what else do they have to play for? I'm not saying that they're going to roll over. No. But when the chips are down, the Blue Jays have a lot more to play here. For a lot more to play for tonight. Right? Like, they could truly clinch home field advantage with a win tonight and a loss from the Mariners. And then they can shift into the who are we resting mode, what are we doing, we're preparing for the wild card series, what way are we going to line up our starting pitchers for the postseason. So there's a lot of motivation to win this game, right? And I by the way, in chat here, Mr. Acmillan 111 shining a little positivity here. He goes, I predict Matt Chapman will hit the first homer of the postseason off the Budweiser sign on a 2-1 count in the second inning. Let's go. Specifics. I like that.
Very specific.
Very specific.
I think we're gonna have a good season, good postseason for Matt Chapman. I think he's gonna really ball out. I think. I don't know. We'll get into this later in the week. We do have some upcoming videos that I wanted to.
Yeah, tease them now.
Preview or tease, shall we? So, videos that Scott and I are going to cover over the course of the next week. We're going to rank basically every position player on a playoff team. Was that 12 teams?
Yes, sir.
So, we're going to rank 12 first basemen. We're going to rank 12 shortstops, 12 second basemen. You get the idea. We're going to do that, rank every single position for teams left in the playoffs. We're going to preview and predict the four wild card series once those teams get cemented and who's playing where. And then each playoff team's biggest strength and biggest weakness, I think, will be fun to look at. Especially some of those AL or NL teams that we don't really look at too often. It'll be interesting to really deep dive a team like the Mets or the Padres or the Milwaukee Brewers. Here's one. Most important difference maker for each playoff team. Off the top of your head, most important difference maker for this Blue Jays team. And I want to put the, I don't know if this is the asterisk on it or the qualifying description of what I mean by that. But I mean, if this Blue Jays team is to have a long run, this is one player that needs to be playing their best baseball. If this player is playing their best, Toronto has the best chance at a deep run. And if this player is playing their worst, it is most likely devastating for the Toronto Blue Jays. So you got lots of contenders. You got Vladdy, you got George Springer, you got, who's on your list? Who's your guy? Just the Blue Jays, let's look at.
So there's a few ways to look at this. Obviously, I think it goes without saying, Vladdy is the answer here. If Vladdy is playing well, if George Springer is playing well, everything else kind of falls into place. But let's say everyone who should be playing how they're playing is playing how they're playing. The George Springers, the Vladdys, the Manoas, the Bows.
Let's be honest too, George Springer, this is the time of year he earns his paycheck.
It is.
And all the days he gets off in June, July, and August, all we tell ourselves is that's fine as long as he shows up in October. So I just checked the calendar this morning. It is in fact October. So he needs to show up.
If Bo Bichette, Whit Merrifield, and Danny Jansen weren't completely tearing the cover off the ball the last month, we'd be talking about how impressive and how clutch George Springer has been. And he's getting lost in the weeds a little bit, but he has put up an excellent last 2.5 weeks of the season. He's going into the playoffs in playoff form. In George Springer playoff form, which is about as good as it possibly can get here. So he has been a little overshadowed, but we're already seeing playoff George, and you got to love to see it. I'm going to go a little bit outside the box here. Okay, I think that one of the biggest difference makers on this team very well could be Raimel Tapia, and for a few reasons. Number one, Lourdes Gurriel Jr. has yet to play a Major League Baseball game in September or October in this season. He's been on the IL for a month, and yes, he's looking like he's probably going to get a game or two of playing time in this Baltimore series. But we've already watched how difficult it is for somebody to come off of the IL and just have their clutch swing ready and going. Yeah. So Raimel Tapia, if he can continue to sort of be the guy he has been in September, which is slightly above average and a very good fielder, I think that we need to see this continue from him. And I think he really could be a difference maker when the game is on the line. He's a guy who's going to give you extra speed on the base path, bottom of that lineup when it comes to, you know.
As Kevin Barker puts it, he's chaos on the base path, right?
He's chaos on the base path, and everything we just said about George, Vladdy, and Bo with late in the game, if you can have those back-end guys getting on base, the Danny Jansens, the Whit Merrifields, the Raimel Tapias in that 7-8-9 hole in the batting order, It just allows ribbies for the big boys, right? It allows runs when you need it.
I'm with you there. Sorry, go ahead.
No, that was pretty much me wrapping up. Was just me saying Raimel Tapia is kind of.
I'm with you, Raimel Tapia. My proposal would be Jose Berríos.
Ooh, I like that.
I think he is one of the hottest, coldest guys on this team all season long. I know the discussion for the last month has been, who's your three guys in the wild card series, right? It's Gausman, Manoah, Stripling, in what order? We're going to need a fourth starting pitcher if we want to go play for the next 3-4 weeks.
I mean, dude, once we're in the ALCS, there's no options. You need Jose Berríos pitching.
And we can't just be punting on Jose Berríos. Like, we can't. If he's going out there and he's given up 4 runs in the first 2 innings, like, we can't have that. We're not going to go far just donating Jose Berríos starts. If he can even be competent, right? Like, if he can just give us, like, 5-6 innings of, like, 2- or 3-run ball, right? I think we're in line to not set our bullpen on fire for the next game. Give your bats a chance. That's good, but he's got the potential to be 7-8 shutout innings. If we go into Houston and we steal a win on a Jose Berríos start.
Oh, buddy.
Like, does that ever change the dynamic of that series? Game one, Jose Berríos steals a game from Justin Verlander? What?
God, would that ever feel good? Houston scares me.
Yeah, Houston scares us. I'll give you that. Man, I woke up this morning sweating. Like, we are October 3rd today. The fun of September baseball is behind us. You know, now it's no more mistakes time.
It really is. A little trivia for you.
Okay.
Today marks 1 year since the Blue Jays won 91 games and still lost. Well, we all sat and watched the Boston Red Sox come back from the Nationals 5-1 lead to eliminate the Blue Jays from the playoffs. It was a tough day, and am I ever thankful looking at today's standings and realizing we get playoff baseball, buddy.
Look, it's going to be nice. I mean, I remember back in February, March, previewing this team and our expectations. We all kind of figured this team would take a step forward. I figured we'd add a couple more wins. I think I projected 95-ish wins.
Yeah.
Maybe on the higher side of that. We're not going to get there. Barring disaster, though, we should best our record of last year with 91. We should get to at least 92, right? We're not getting swept by the Orioles.
I would say so. Last night, they won their 90th game. So if the Blue Jays can take 2 of 3 against the Orioles, that guarantees that it doesn't even matter what the Mariners do. If they take 2 of 3 of the Orioles, it guarantees home field advantage, and it guarantees a better season than the 2021 outing. So,
and it's been another great September. I just want to say that, too. Last year, we had September to remember that really kept us going and kept us alive, even though we did fall short. For a lot of this season, we were projected for like 85, 88 wins. We had another good September. I mean, we're getting hot at the right time. Last year, got hot at the right time, came up just short. We could have done damage in the playoffs last year. You know, we watched the Braves do it. I think that was the hardest part of watching that Atlanta Braves World Series run, is just knowing that, like, yeah, all you got to do is get there. The Dodgers are intimidating, but if the Braves can take them out, we could take out the Yankees or the Rays, right? So, hot team. We've made it. We've officially clinched. Anything can happen. Just a quick reminder for anybody joining us late, as I see the live chat viewers continue to grow. Ben Nicholson-Smith is going to join us probably 5-10 minutes from now.
Yeah.
We'll be spending about 30 minutes chatting ball with him. So,
3:05 Eastern is when he's scheduled to join us. And I did.
Pitch for a ball game? 05.
Right. I mentioned to him too. I'm like, if you've got a few extra minutes here early, we're going to be live and ready to go. So feel free to drop in here.
There you go. I'm surprised. Yes. I mean, being a ball guy, I'm surprised he didn't say 3:07 Eastern opening right? pitch, right?
3:07 is starting pitch with Ben Nicholson-Smith.
There you go.
Some really great news announced last night on the Sportsnet broadcast, too. Sportsnet given the rights to broadcast their own playoff games here in Canada, which is, honestly, thank goodness.
Yeah.
I am so excited to listen to Buck and Tabby over some out-of-market American broadcast that just doesn't know the Jays or bringing up stuff that we're all like, yeah, we know, or just not even mentioning it at all, right? And focusing on whoever the American team that will
be. That was one thing that stood out to me on last night's show with Anthony Telford. Love Anthony Telford to death, but listening to him praise Yusei Kikuchi.
Yes.
It was like, we didn't push back too hard on it, but also, no. I mean, he's not a Jays fan. He's a Rays guy. Yes. He lives in Florida. So you could tell he's just checking the stats at a glance. Technically, Yusei Kikuchi has given up fewer home runs than Jose Berríos. He also did not pitch nearly as much this year for a reason. Mm-hmm. So, but I think that kind of goes to what you're saying about listening to the broadcast of another team, right? Like, do I want to hear what the Seattle Mariners guys think of Jose Berríos coming out of the bullpen when they only know him at a glance? Not at all. So,
no,
it'll be exciting that we get the Sportsnet crew.
Scotty Scott in chat here says, "Preach, was so happy to hear this." And I think that really echoes the sentiment of most Blue Jays fans, is it's going to be really nice to have that home broadcast. And let's face it, we're a little spoiled here in Blue Jays land when it comes to the product that they are broadcasting with. You know, up and down, we've got guys that I'm just like, this is so much better than so many other markets are working with. Like, Buck is just a classic legend, right? And it may be his last season. I know that I sent you the article where he was, he didn't straight up come out and say that he's retiring, but he definitely made it sound like it's an option, right?
He missed time this year for health reasons. He's not getting any younger. It only makes sense.
74. Exactly. Pat Tabler has been the color guy with this team through multiple play-by-play guys, right? He was with Buck when it all started back in the early 2000s. He was with Jamie Campbell when he was doing the team in 2007 through 2009. Some dark days there. We've watched Dan Shulman leave TSN broadcast when him and Buck started together in like 95, become a name with ESPN on the basketball scene and the baseball scene in the US. We watched him come back to Sportsnet. Like, we are spoiled, man. We've got some really talented
Even
broadcasters.
Hazel left and came back and brought Kevin Barker with her.
Isn't that the true Canadian frickin' entertainment way of doing things? Like, as a couple Canadian comics, that's how it just works, right? As a Canadian entertainer, you need to go prove yourself in the U.S. and then you're welcomed back with open arms, right? Oh, we've always loved you.
Pretty much. Tell us your credits. Tell us your credits. No, it's going to be, we are spoiled. Great broadcast booth. Great studio. Top to bottom, inside out, it's a great team. I wonder how every other fan base, though, feels about their crew. You know,
does
nostalgia play a factor? You know, is it just like, I've grown up listening to this shitty commentator, but that's my guy. You
know? Yeah, I think there's definitely some of that. I know that I've been watching a lot of out-of-market games here this month, just with the playoff races that have been happening and stuff like that. And it has really been almost shocking how old school some of the broadcasts are and like how anti-new baseball they are, which is so funny because MLB is all about trying to sell their product, but then they have these like really stuck in their ways old men that are broadcasting that constantly everything that they're trying to promote are bad-mouthing during the broadcast. Yeah. So it's like this really weird dichotomy of like, hey, let the kids play, but also, can these kids stop being so exciting?
Yeah, the MLB announces bigger bags for next year. That'll help, right? And then everyone's like, this is dumb. What's this going to
solve? Bigger bags over my dead body, right? I don't know why that's my old man voice, but it is.
I love it. I love it. That's great.
So here's from Blue Jays Twitter. Maddie is her name. And she actually had a few tweets blow up over the last month here and has definitely watched her followers explode, if you will. But she mentioned this morning that she can't wait for the Kevin Gausman, Robbie Ray game two of the wild card series. Not that anything has been announced, but if it does kind of keep up that
trajectory,
what the alignment that we think is going to go down, of course, who knows, it could change. But boy, oh boy, Kevin Gausman versus Robbie Ray. Buddy, this is what we were talking about back in March.
Gausman versus Robbie Ray, the new toy versus the old toy. That's going to be a pivotal game too, because game one is going to be Castillo versus Manoah potentially. Oh,
my goodness. Like, buddy, wow. Even if it's like really the pitching matchup in this is going to be insane. And it's going to be interesting to see how they even line things up. I know William Gordon here brings up Berríos out of the bullpen, question mark. And who knows? Berríos could get a start, but most likely he's probably going to be ready to go out of the bullpen in game three if there's a Stripling falter at all. That said, we touched on this earlier, Adam, right? Do they even do that? Do they line him up for game one of the ALDS?
Well, this is the sticky predicament, is if you do bring out Jose Berríos, let's just say you go Manoah, Gausman, Stripling. In game three is Stripling. He struggles. You bring in Berríos out of the bullpen. Let's just say you do get through that. Let's say Berríos plays well, gets you through that. Then what do you do for game one of the ALCS against the Astros? Or against ALDS against the Astros? Because do you just pitch Manoah on 3 days rest? You can't do Gausman on 2 days rest.
No.
And you just burned Stripling and Berríos. I'm not putting Yusei Kikuchi in for game one. I'll tell you that for free. So, I don't know. We have talked about Berríos as like a bullpen option, or Berríos getting the start and then Stripling as the bullpen option. Mm-hmm. I think whoever doesn't get the start, I don't think you can bring in. That's a scary proposition. You're going to need the fourth guy to start game one.
Yeah. You can't burn all of your options, is the truth. So just
not putting Mitch White in there for game one.
Nope. So Ben Nicholson-Smith is supposed to join us in 1 minute, and of course, he is limited on time. So whatever we are talking about, everybody, we are just going to quit the second that he pops up, and we're just going to get right into the questions here because we're just a couple boneheads who don't know anything. And of course, Ben Nicholson-Smith is a Blue Jays insider and knows his stuff. So we aren't going to make him wait. So just a heads up to everyone, if it gets weird for a second as we quickly transfer him on, it's for good reason.
You bet. Comments, questions, we have selected ahead of time from our Discord. Discord is free to join. So if you want questions answered for our next time we have a guest on, Ben Nicholson-Smith, Arden's Welling, or otherwise, get them in our Discord. But get your comments in the YouTube. And after Ben takes off, Scott and I will stick around and call through the comment section if there's anything interesting in there to talk about. So
exactly. We were just talking Berríos and Gausman. I know William Gordon Humphrey says, how's the finger? Of course, he's talking about Kevin Gausman, who was removed from the game on, would have been Saturday, correct?
Saturday.
Because he had some rubbing and a little split on his finger. Of course, he does deal with blister issues because of the splitter, and it's been very manageable all season. This is something that he is within his routine, right? He looks after his blisters. It is going to need to heal, but it should be fine. I guess they're doing some sort of fancy laser treatment on it, and that he should be good to go come the playoffs here. He might get pushed to game three, though. You never know. An extra, when it comes to blisters and stuff like that, an extra day actually could go a long way. So maybe we actually watch Ross Stripling pitch game two of the wild card. I'm so excited to see how this starting pitching lines up, dude, because it could go in so many different directions.
Okay. Ben Nicholson-Smith is here. So let's pop in. Let's let him go.
Hello.
Hey, hello, Ben. Hello. How you doing, man?
Hey. Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. Good. Thank you.
Just want to let you know real quick, we are live on YouTube, and we've got about 50 people in the chat watching, so we'll just jump right into it and get
cool.
going.
Hey, everyone. Sounds good.
Okay. Thanks so much for your time, buddy. Really appreciate it. So
you got it.
You've got a hard out at 3:30, correct?
Yeah, that works great for me. If you guys, that works on your end.
Perfect. Yeah, of course. We're just happy you're making time, my man.
Absolutely. And you guys can see and hear me okay?
Yeah.
You look good. You sound great.
Awesome. Likewise.
All right. So we're very excited to have returning to the show. Writer and analyst for Sportsnet, Blue Jays insider, Ben Nicholson-Smith. Welcome back to the Walk-Off, man.
Thanks for having me on. It's great to be talking some baseball with you guys.
It always is, especially in a scenario like this. Man, we're down to a magic number of 2 after the Blue Jays swept the Red Sox in their final home series of the regular season. Obviously, nothing's in stone, and knock on all the wood, we don't wish to upset the baseball gods, but barring a complete disaster, it looks like the Blue Jays should have home field advantage here. Could you feel it in the air over the Red Sox series? Like, is there some playoff excitement in Toronto right now? Like, is it comparing at all to 15-16, or is it ramping up?
I still think it's ramping up. It's definitely, we're seeing some good crowds, and that's great that people are showing up for the Yankees series, for the Red Sox series. That's a really good sign. I still think at the same time that there's more to come when it comes to the energy and the intensity. And I think back to the Yankees series and Gerrit Cole on the mound. The Jays fans basically forced Gerrit Cole to balk. And I mean, that's a great thing. That's part of why home field advantage does matter, even if it doesn't totally change the outcome of a series usually. So I think there are more moments like that to come for the Jays. And certainly if it is this weekend against the Mariners, seem like the likely opponent, it's a great chance for the Jays to, you know, in a respectful way, be really, really, you know, demonstrative and really loud and get in the way of the opposing team.
I'm so excited for playoff baseball. And the fact that Jays are back in it, it's weird because 2020, they were in it. It didn't feel the same. You know, the 60-game series, our season, no fans in the stands. So, like, it's just cool to see the excitement. So my question for you is, who plays second base in this wild card series? Like, has Whit Merrifield done enough at this point with Espinal being injured and Biggio's time being cut back? Is he the starting first baseman or second baseman, sorry, for the wild card?
I do think that that's likely the case. I mean, there's a chance, and Santiago Espinal is returning. He's doing a lot of workout drills and seems pretty comfortable with his fielding drills. So that's a big step as he comes back from the oblique. So if he's able to play, then he could be mixed in, and especially if you're facing, for example, it's a tough lefty. Maybe Espinal's playing second. Maybe you have Whit Merrifield playing a corner outfield spot. And so you can have both in at the same time. But if it's one or the other, Merrifield started 9 games in a row right now. He's hitting as well as he's hit all year. I think it's his job to roll with, although I'm sure that Jays will find ways to use Espinal at times as well.
Probably in defensive scenarios, later in games maybe?
Yeah, I think later in games for sure they would use him. Maybe they find starts where they like the matchup better than putting Merrifield out there. But one way or the other, Merrifield has gone from kind of an afterthought, really underperformed, as you guys know, when he first got here, to being someone who's peaking at the right time, it seems.
Biggio is a bench piece at this point.
Agreed. Yes. Okay. Yeah, I agree. Someone who can contribute, maybe it's as a base runner, potentially. You know, if you have your starting lineup is already has Whit Merrifield in it, for example, and you have Kirk on second base and he's the DH that day, maybe you bring in Biggio as a defensive or as a pinch runner. He's certainly got the versatility to help you in different situations and just give you an insurance policy off of the bench. But I don't see him starting necessarily unless something drastic changes. I think he's a bench piece going into the playoffs.
John Schneider is going to have some decisions to make. Holy cow. Like, speaking of bench pieces, does Lourdes get relegated to the bench with how little playing time he's had in September? Like, listen, he has been a difference maker for this team all season long. He has lengthened this lineup. He... maybe not the power we saw in the past, but I mean, He gets hits. But do you want to put him into a wild card scenario where he's just literally hasn't even got his swing going yet?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, ultimately, we need to see what he's able to do in these last few games here or last few days, because the opener in Baltimore might be in danger of being rained out. So, you know, it really is how far can he push himself physically? Certainly, you know, if it's a rainy field, you're not going to put him out there to do base running drills. So you probably wait until it's a bit drier. You get him out there at some point to run the bases, because it's one thing to swing the bat, but this is someone who's dealing with a hamstring issue. So he really has to be able to make that turn around first. He has to be able to accelerate, decelerate, slide, all these different things. And until he actually does that, it's hard to know when he's ready. So that's, to me, one of the big questions. Otherwise, the Jays do have a lot of outfielders, and Tapia has been doing a solid job. So they're not desperate. And so to me, unless Lourdes is clearly ready, I think there's a strong case to just let him recover. And then division series, great. You can mix him in at that point.
That is such a great point about Tapia. It's not like we're sitting here looking at this outfield being like, oh my God, we need to figure a way to get whoever out. Because Tapia has been very serviceable.
Oh yeah. He's been really good. You know, I hesitate to say, I hesitate to like go too far with my praise
of Tapia.
You know, you look at the season numbers and the OPS is still, you know, it's not necessarily the territory that the Jays might have hoped it would be, but he can still give them a different look. He can still play some reasonable defense in a corner spot for you. And, you know, it's serviceable major league play, and he's come up with some big hits. So he's a major league player, obviously a flawed player in the sense that he'll expand and a little swing happy at times. But certainly in the absence of Lourdes, that's a guy that you want to have around.
Mm-hmm. So Ben, when you look at the Blue Jays top three starters, Manoah, Gausman, Stripling, how do you feel they stack up against their most likely opponent in the Seattle Mariners, who also have an incredible top three to go to in Gilbert, Castillo, and Ray?
Yeah, that's a great trio, really. I mean, Gilbert is lined up now for that final game. Probably see him bumped to the wild card series. You would think that's the logical move on the part of the Mariners. And then, yeah, you add in Ray, you add in Luis Castillo. Honestly, just purely off of the numbers, the Mariners would have one of the better trios in baseball. I mean, the Mets probably number one, but this might be ahead of the Jays. Just if you're looking at starting pitching alone, the Mariners bullpen is also very good. I think where you start to see the difference is the Blue Jays have a great offense, and the Mariners offense is good, you know, at times very good, depending on the status of Julio Rodriguez. And we'll learn more about that in the next couple of days here. But, you know, the Blue Jays offensively are a way better team than Seattle. So maybe the Seattle rotation's a little bit better in that number three spot. You know, Castillo v. Stripling, that's a pretty big gap, which is why I'd probably give the Mariners a slight edge. But this is, a team as a whole that I think the Blue Jays are ahead of the Mariners.
So looking back on March of 2022, had you told me Ross Stripling was doing what he was doing, I would have just straight up told you you were lying to me and messing with me. Like, I honestly, he has been a revelation. I know Chris Black, producer with Sportsnet there, ranked the 10 pitchers in Blue Jays history that finished a season with 3.01. And Ben, it was the best of the best to ever pitch on this team. He has become a legit starter. So I know you haven't got a crystal ball, and we're going to just need to sit and wait and see what this front office does. But if you, Ben Nicholson-Smith, are the general manager of the Blue Jays, do you extend him a qualifying offer? And on top of that, are you trying to lock this man up?
Well, I definitely would be trying to lock him up. I think with the absence of Stripling, that creates a clear need for the Blue Jays in the rotation. I mean, you know, imagine this team without him. That tells you that they are going to need to find a way to add some sort of starting pitching, especially because they don't necessarily have anyone at AAA who's just pushing up, clearly belonging in that next spot. So, Ricky Tiedemann's exciting. We'll see when he gets to the majors. It could even be next year, but you're probably not counting on him out of spring training, or at least if you do, that's unwise. I think at the same time, qualifying offer We don't know exactly how much it'll be. Let's ballpark it at 19 million. That's a lot of money. And mm-hmm. so to me, I would not do that. I would not qualify Stripling. Not sure what the Jays are going to do. I think it's reminiscent of the Steven Matz situation where the Blue Jays discussed it last year internally and ultimately did not qualify Matz. And he got a great deal, mm-hmm. 44 over 4 years. Maybe Stripling ends up with the deal along those lines. Mm-hmm. That's probably on the high end. I certainly think there'll be a lot of teams in it 2 years. You can make a case for three. Stripling's put himself in a great position, had a great year. And, you know, I think qualifying offer or not, he's someone that the Jays certainly should be looking to try to bring back. And he'll have a lot of interest. I think there's no question.
Do you believe in him? Like, I'm not saying, do you think he's actually a 3.01 pitcher every year? But do you look at Ross Stripling and what he's done this season and see him as a very viable number three or four in most rotations going forward?
Yeah, I do. I think, you know, especially for 2023, I think Stripling's someone you definitely want on your team next year. You know, for me, and, you know, it's he's also beyond being a good pitcher. He's really easy to deal with. And so, you know, you think about the media bias that kind of seeps into this sometimes. you know, you try to take that away. So when I look at Ross Stripling, you still have a right-hander throwing 91, 92, right? So, okay, what happens if he loses in the course of the next 4 years a couple miles per hour? What does that look like then? And I know the changeup's really good and the command is good, and he's someone who pitches with a whole lot of conviction and just a great approach to pitching, which is part of the reason he is where he is. But 4 years from now, is Ross Stripling a major league starting pitcher? If not, what is he? Do you want to be paying him like he's a major league starting pitcher? So to me, I think you can be really confident in 2023. Of course, you're going to have to go multiple years to get him, I would think. So you're talking about a multi-year deal. Is that two? Is that three? To me, it wouldn't be four, but maybe some major league team disagrees with me. Maybe that's the price they have to pay. So we'll see.
So while we're speaking extensions, I did wish to get your thoughts on this. We've been talking this catching situation with the Jays all season long. It's been one of the big speculative points, right? But Danny Jansen has had himself a breakout season despite missing major chunks due to injury. Like, if you just look at his numbers while he's been on the field, he has been a top 10 catcher in baseball. Obviously, decisions concerning this position is going to be made in the offseason, but I'm wondering if this front office does decide Danny Jansen is the guy or one of the guys that they are going to move forward with. Can you see this season being a good one to approach Danny about maybe locking in a little bit more long-term as a 27-year-old who is really kind of showing he's got the stuff needed?
He's been great. He's really been great. I think, you know, we all know about the defense, but then you look at the pull power that he's tapped into in the 15 home. I don't have it in front of me. 15 home runs, something.
He's on 35 home run pace if he played a full 162.
Wow.
That's Vladdy this year.
Yeah. That's pretty telling, right? Yeah. So he's having himself just a great year. And so I think at that point, again, it's confidence level in Danny Jansen being a major league player, major league catcher that you want on your team for many years going forward. Now, I think that confidence level is high enough that you're like, yeah, he's going to be good in 23, 24, 25. You know, he has a skill set that's unique. He can tap into that power and provide you defensive value. So I think you want him. I think an extension, I don't think you need to go too wild because you have Kirk, because you have Moreno. So I don't think you need to go too far out of your way. And I think for Jansen too, this is the other side of it. He's now in a position where he's 2 years away from free agency. So If Jansen decides, you know what, I'm making good money now in arbitration. I actually have, you know, a certain amount of security because of that. And free agency in a couple of years' time after he's a primary catcher on a winning team, that could be pretty lucrative for him. You know, he might be someone who's commanding multi-year deals. So to me, this doesn't scream extension when you look at both sides involved. When you look at Jansen, where he's at, when you look at the Jays and where they're at, but that doesn't mean it isn't a really good work relationship right now.
That's a great point. Obviously, the player needs to be on board with an extension too before talks even get anywhere. So We have a pile of listener questions for you, Ben, so we are going to flip the script on that right away here and probably take you right till you got to go. I will leave you with one more before we go to Adam here. Albert Pujols, my goodness, like, I can't talk enough about this man. 700 home runs now. He just hit another three RBIs last night to tie Babe Ruth for second of all time. And I look back on the offseason, and honestly, man, I would have bet against this 100% of the time. Did you see this sort of season? Like, talk about a way to go out. This exceeds anything anyone could have possibly imagined, right?
Oh, by far. And I think it's also putting Albert Pujols in the territory of one of the best exit seasons of all time, one of the best final seasons of all time. Like, I know David Ortiz had a good one. I think Adrian Beltre did. It could be wrong. It happens occasionally, but this is up there. This is up there with one of the best all time. And it's awesome to see. I mean, he's been going for decades now, since, you know, a long, long time. A lot's changed in the world since then, but Pujols just keeps hitting homers. It's really cool to see.
Watching him, Waino, and Molina get pulled, all three of them together last night, and getting the standing ovation from that cards crowd, just gave pretty me cool goosebumps. Such a cool moment. They've just those three have given us so many cool moments this season. Baseball fans should just be tipping their hat in general to them.
For sure.
All right, Adam, take it away here. Listener questions, we'll get to as many as we can before we let you go here. Ben, again, thank you so much for being so generous with your time. We love having you on the show, and I know so do our listeners. So thank you.
My pleasure.
All right. We got a few off the top, some quick hits. We'll try and get them answered and, like, limit you to one-sentence answers here so we can get to as many as we can. First one comes in from SCTI. Says, has Schneider done enough to lose the interim title?
Yes, and I think that if this success continues, then we could very well see that happen.
Okay. And if Judge wasn't a Yankee, would we be talking more about Ohtani as MVP?
I think that's fair to say, but I think that any time someone hits 61 homers, they deserve to be front and center in MVP talks as well.
All right. Asino Rule says, what are Big Puma's chances of winning the Cy Young? Alek Manoah.
I think the chances are very slim. However, I think his chances of finishing in the top three and being a finalist have improved a lot, to the point that he probably deserves to be top three with Verlander and Cease, McClanahan, Ohtani. He's in that mix.
Scott Adams, the Jays fan, says, what is an acceptable postseason run for this team? Where is the line between genuine disappointment and genuine contentment?
It's a great question. I think everyone has to answer that individually, but I think if I could guess the mood for Jays fans, obviously it would be just disappointing if they don't win a round. I mean, that's clear. If they lose in the division series, that's probably, that's a tough one. If you lose to the Astros in the division series, maybe that's neutral territory. And if you get to the ALCS, you know, you're facing the Yankees in the ALCS. You get to if they get to the World Series, it's a success, win or lose in the World Series. And then ALCS, ALDS, it's a bit murkier for me.
Out of curiosity, if they go to the ALCS, John Schneider manager next year?
Yeah, I would think so.
ALDS, John Schneider manager next year?
I would think so.
Losing the wild card, now we're getting a little murky.
I still think he will, okay, but we'll see.
Yeah.
All right, two last ones here. One's not baseball related, so this one is, does Ben have any non-sports related hobbies?
Yes, I do. So I would get out there and run a fair amount. I try to run a few times a week. I try to cook. I like to cook, less so in the baseball season. I'm vegetarian, so usually, cook a few times a week, in the off season a bit more. So I guess those could be considered hobbies. Reading, I haven't read a lot actually recently, but normally I would like to read as well.
So you weren't contributing to any of those loony dog days then, eh?
I was not.
All right. Last question then, and you can expand on your answer for this one. Mustard Tiger wants to know, what moves would Ben make next year to make sure we can continue competing moving forward?
Great question. And thanks for all those questions. And yeah, thanks to you, Adam and Scott, as well for having me on here and all of your listeners. I definitely appreciate the chance to join you guys and have a good time every time I do. Yeah, I would say next off season, I mean, the manager is the first thing. You got to sort that. I think Schneider's done a really good job. So I think that, you know, personally, I think that he should be back. Then you're going to need some pitching. The bullpen actually is in a decent spot because Bass and Pop can stick around. Jimmy Garcia is under contract. But you always need to add bullpen help, and they will need rotation help because Stripling's a free agent. So you either have to retain him or bring someone else in. And then the position player core is interesting because on paper, you could bring all these guys back, but I don't think they will. I mean, certainly Chapman, Vlad, Bo, these guys are not going anywhere. I think the catching trio is interesting, but I don't think you have to force it. I've heard teams ask, you know, me and ask the Blue Jays about the availability of those catchers. So there's certainly curiosity around the league beyond the Blue Jays about whether they'd move them. But I don't think they have to. I wouldn't be surprised, though, if they listen on their outfielders. And they've done it before, but Lourdes, Teo, you know, I could see them listening on those guys and potentially making a move. So one way or another, it'll be a different looking team. But to me, the most important thing is lock up Schneider and add pitching.
Ben, out of curiosity, when you look at Matt Chapman and what he's done for this organization over the 2022 season and how much he has shored up that left side of the infield, and the fact that they have moved on from Jordan Groshans and Aroldis Martinez is probably still a year or two away from truly being a viable option at third base and nobody really pushing from within the organization to take over, would you consider negotiating with Matt Chapman on an extension?
I honestly would. I think he's a huge part of this team. You know, behind the scenes in the clubhouse, I think he's emerged as one of the more vocal players and one of the players that other players turn to. Most importantly, though, he plays great defense. He's a good hitter. So you just want him on your team. Now, you know, the price would not be cheap. So I think you have to be mindful of that. And regardless, that trade is a home run for the Jays. I mean, to get, you know, Kirk Snead, Hoagland, you know, Zach Smith, Kevin Smith.
Kevin Smith.
You know, those guys for Matt Chapman, that's an incredible trade. So that's a really good sign. But you know, if there's a way to keep him for another 4 or 5 years beyond that, I think you have to be open to it. But I think the price would be very, very high.
Ben, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate how generous you are with it. And we look forward to the next time we can convince you to join us. So all the best and keep kicking butt. And, you know, we look forward to reading those playoff baseball articles.
I look forward to writing them and I look forward to a really exciting month here. Thanks to you guys for having me on. Like I said, really appreciate it. It's great to chat. And thanks to all of the listeners who sent in questions as well. And for everyone listening, always great to connect with some Jays fans and appreciate the time. Great questions from everyone. So certainly well worth making the time, and appreciate everything from you guys.
Awesome. Thanks, Cheers. Ben. Have a great day, man. Cheers.
You got it. Have a good one, guys. See ya.
All right. Well, thank you all in the chat. We do really appreciate all the questions and chiming in and joining us for our interview with Ben Nicholson Smith. We are going to be doing the mailbag tomorrow, as Adam mentioned. Maybe you can even step in here, Adam, and go over our list of the videos we're making this week.
Yeah, so for anybody that joined us partway through that Ben Nicholson Smith interview, just a reminder, we are live currently. It is 3:30 Eastern time, so if you're joining us right now, appreciate you sticking around, dropping a like on this video. We are going to be totally brain farted here, Scott. Oh,
videos tomorrow.
Thank you. Yeah, got that list up here. Videos we're gonna be working on this week include we're gonna be doing a ranking of all of the baseball players left in the playoffs. We're gonna go position by position. So we're gonna rank playoff first baseman, playoff second baseman, playoff shortstops. You get the idea. We're going to preview and predict outcomes of all four wildcard series once those are locked in matchups. We're going to talk most important difference maker for each playoff team. We talked Jays briefly today, but we'll do a longer form video of that. And we'll do it for all 12 playoff teams. We're also going to talk each team's biggest playoff strength and weakness. So something to look forward to there. Anything else you want to add?
Just that we really appreciate all of you within the walk-off community. This thing continues to grow and become an animal of its own. It's a little bit overwhelming, but honestly, we love talking Blue Jays baseball and all the interaction that you folks are involved with us. Thank you so much. Discord, feel free to join it. That is always free. The show, or the link is in the show notes. You can follow us on Twitter at Walk-Off Podcast, on Instagram, the Walk-Off Podcast. And if you are watching on YouTube currently and you're not subscribed, we'd really appreciate it if you hit that subscribe button. All the best, everybody. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to the Walk Off Podcast with Scott Belford and Adam Mack, with a new episode every Friday.
Oh! Osborne with a drive. Cheese and crackers. Shows to pitch to him. Long move.
Thanks for listening.